Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope whether you are at school or at work or maybe just at home, that things are going well in your world right now. I hope you and your family, your friends, you're all staying strong and healthy right now. Hey, those holidays, they are coming quickly, aren't they? We are now less than 2 weeks away from Christmas and Kwanzaa. Las Posadas begins this Friday. Hanukkah begins this next Sunday. Hey, whatever it is that you celebrate, and I know here at the Dose, we have listeners all over the world, but I hope that your preparations are going well. I hope that maybe this year you're actually able to get back to a more traditional celebration with family and with friends. And you know, one thing, very important thing to keep in mind right now, this is also a very busy season when it comes to those dreaded holiday work parties. Yes, that glorious time of year when you are forced to hang out with people that you don't really know quite as well. So you drink to loosen things up. And pretty soon, you end up being called to HR to discuss exactly why you drank the equivalent of a small European country and also why you threw up in the boss's desk. Hey, enjoy those holiday parties, but also try not to let your activities at those parties follow you for the rest of your career. That would be my biggest advice to you during this season. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video, and we have links to the Daily Dose gear. If you are looking for that last gift for these holidays, you know, you might just want to pick up a Daily Dose t-shirt, sweatshirt, or even a coffee mug, maybe a hoodie. We have a number of items. Just stop by DailyDoseSports.com. You can find links to everything that you need Daily Dose-wise. Hey, today on the show, I have something different for you. I have something special for you. If you have listened to the Daily Dose for very long, then you know that I actually have a background in the world of coaching. I coached basketball for a few years, and I have a passion for the people that do that job. I think it is such an important job. I think so many times it is a thankless job that just gets so much grief. Well, today on the Daily Dose, I have a guest that shares those opinions, and he and his company are actually doing their best to help those coaches that are in need. But that is not, because today is in fact also a very important day in Daily Dose history. Going to be talking about that a little later in the show, but trust me, this is a Daily Dose episode that you do not want to miss. But first up, let's get over to our interview with Coach's Soul co-founder, Leap Hoovy. Joining us today on the Daily Dose, I have someone joining us today that I'm very excited to talk to, because I have someone that knows sports, but they know sports from a different perspective. Leap Hoovy is a former international coach. Lee has been involved in a number of Olympic-type athletes, got a ton of sports experience at every level from youth, like I said, clear to the Olympics. He is a co-founder of a company called Coach's Soul, a leadership development coaching company for sports coaches. At Coach's Soul, they believe that the relationship between coaches and athletes is going to just grow and grow and grow. And I could not agree more. I have got a lot of questions for you, Lee. But before we drill down on what it is that you do, Lee, first off, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it. And I'm now considering hiring you as my hype man after that entrance speech to just follow me around and keep me motivated every day.
Well, sure. We've got to hype you up. You're doing really good work. Lee, tell me a little bit about your athletic background. You personally, before you got into the coaching side of things, what about you? What were you doing athletically?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of an interesting way of getting into it. So very sporty, like many of us. I was a district swimming champion. My dad was a cyclist, so I discovered track cycling. We got a velodrome in Brighton. Not a particularly good one, but there is one there. So I started racing when I was 13 years old. realized I was a sprinter. So we're talking short distance events of a minute and under, which is unusual for cycling. Cycling's mainly an endurance sport. So I was already a little bit of an outlier by doing something a bit different there. Got to a national level, got invited onto the GB team. This was the time when there was no funding for the GB program. That changed hugely later on. But at that time, there was no funding, no support. And it didn't seem that I'd be able to have a career. I wasn't exceptionally gifted. I was good, but I wasn't going to go and win the Olympic Games. So did that, realized that it wasn't going to be a career for me, went into the corporate world, went into real estate, worked for a large corporate company for 5 years and opened my own one for 6 years. Still kept in touch with cycling, still did it for fun, still raced at kind of a low level locally, and realized that, I just loved it and I wasn't enjoying being a salesperson. I wasn't enjoying having my own company selling property. So sold my company. And got back into sport, got back into sports coaching, and also then started competing as a master's rider. So that's 35 up. Had some reasonable success there. Discovered that I had a talent for coaching. The first three athletes I coached all became national champions and got onto the national team back in the UK. And this is when there was now a bunch of funding. Some of those athletes have gone on to win medals at Olympic Games and win win world championships. And just... just had this different experience coming into it because I didn't go straight from being an athlete to a coach. I had that 11, 12 year period where I worked in the corporate world in between and then came back to training myself. And the desire for me to be a good athlete as an older athlete meant that I really started studying psychology and physiology at a level beyond I'd ever done that before. And humbling, if you've ever done that, to realize once you start studying these things how much more there is to know. So I got a quick reminder of how broad that system is, but the advantage I'd had as a coach is that I'd had leadership training and I'd done a lot of leadership work in my corporate day. So I came into it a bit different from most coaches come into it, where they go that immediate route from athlete to coach.
Lee, did you have, and I usually ask people that end up going to coaching the same question. Did you have a coach that you looked at and said, that's the person that either changed kind of the way I was going, or the other side? And I'll be very honest, I was on this side. I didn't have a coach. And so I looked and said, I want to go into coaching because I never had that in my life. What was your story?
Yeah, great question. I kind of had both, but slightly different. So my first proper coach was the director of coaching for British Cycling at the time. And unfortunately, he just wasn't a good coach. He didn't understand sprinting. So kept trying to give me endurance coaching. So I'm doing 3 hour road rides, training for an event that lasts 1 minute. As we know now, that's not good preparation. And he went to the Junior World Championships the year before I was due to go, came back and said, the East Germans, the Russians, the Italians are too good. No British rider will ever win a World Championships. Well, the British team is now and has been for the last three Olympic cycles, the most successful team in track cycling. So clearly he was wrong. You know, there is no nation in the world that has genetically better human beings than another nation. It's just about the preparation and the program. So that was my first experience. I had this really negative coach, didn't understand me, didn't understand the sport we were training for, and was very negative about our ability to do that sport. Then when I came back in as a master's rider, and I'd met this guy before, a guy called David Legris, when I was younger, just as I was finishing my cycling career as a young athlete, I came across him and found him very inspirational. This guy was just really, really good. It different, looked at things in a different way, quite avant-garde. And then I employed him as a coach when I came back as a master's rider to start coaching me. And it was a completely different coaching experience. He really understood sprinters. He really understood the event that we were training for. And as a new experience to me, he understood the psychology of the event and what we were training for. And I just had this wonderful experience with him. And he taught me a lot about how to coach and a lot that I still use even in the corporate world. And we're still very good friends today. So I had both. I had that really bad coach that kind of made me want to understand the sport better myself so I could train myself. So I learned self-sufficiency by having that bad coach in. And then I had this great role model that really taught me how to coach and what being a coach meant and the level that we should be at when we're coaching other human beings, and the responsibility that we have as coaches, not just for the physical welfare of our athletes, but for the emotional welfare as well.
Lee, you bring up such great points, because coaching is, there's so many facets to it. And you have so many coaches that say, I just need X's and O's. I just need to learn the sport. You have other coaches that may say, no, I just need to learn the motivation, the psychology. It really takes both to be effective. If you have one without the other, you might be okay. You will never achieve what you truly can achieve if you can learn both. You give a great example of someone that finally brought both, and you, oh, wow, this is so different. Because as athletes, we all want the same thing. We want to get better at our sport, don't we?
Yeah, it's interesting. For me, too many coaches worry too much about the physiology and some degree the technique, although technique is obviously very important,
sure,
and not enough about the emotional part of it. And also just their own skill set. So that's their leadership skill set and their communication skill set. And because of that, even if they have the technical ability and the physiological knowledge, they often can't share it, or they can't generate trust, because their communication style doesn't generate trust. So even when they're given really good advice, their athletes don't necessarily fully trust them. You know, example I can give is, one way to really generate trust with athletes is when they ask you a question you don't know the answer to, don't make something up. And I see that happen a lot with coaches. And it's something that athletes will come and talk to me about for advice, where they'll go, you know, hey, I asked my coach about this, and I know they just made the answer up, instead of saying, I don't know the answer. So, you know, when I work with coaches with things like that, great leadership is saying, I don't know the answer to that question. Let me go and investigate it. Let me find somebody else who might know the answer. And while I'm doing that, why don't you do your own research as well, especially if you're dealing with more mature athletes? You know, get them as, make them a partnership. The days of coaches being the authority and what they say goes is gone. Athletes have way more power now. And we see where governing bodies are giving athletes more power and giving athletes more responsibility. And we have things like safe sport to protect athletes. That's missing for coaches. We don't support coaches in that way, sadly. Working for a governing body, I just didn't get that kind of support, training, mentoring that I was desperate to have. And Miriam had a very similar, my partner in coaching, so had a very similar experience herself. And that's a main reason that we've created this company and this program, is because we see so many isolated, lonely, burnt out coaches, and they just don't know where to get the support. You know, so it's part leadership training, it's part communication skills, it's part knowing your own emotional story and your own emotional stuff that gets in the way of you turning up as the best version of yourself, and will help you work past that and move on from that. And then it's part just being that support network that we all deserve. And we're now giving to elite athletes. They have sports psychologists. The coaches are more aware how to deal with them. The governing bodies are more aware how to deal with them. Yet we're forgetting actually the person that has the most emotional loads to carry, which is the coach.
Wow, Lee, you bring up so many good points there. You can't see me. I'm sitting here nodding my head at everything you're saying, because so much of what you're saying is just so accurate. There is a perception right now, I think, with coaches that it's motivation. It's maybe, like you said, just focusing on the event itself, focusing on the sport itself. I understand it. I just don't always agree with it. Because if you want to look at the difference between a successful athlete, a successful team, like you said, so much of it is about leadership and it is about trust. And if you can get that trust as a coach, if you can get those athletes to buy into what you're doing, you're going to have way more success. If you can't, you're going to be sitting there wondering why everything splintered and went so many different ways and everybody's on their own agenda. You bring up a ton of great points that myself as a former coach, I look back and say, oh, wow, you just could not be more right. So you go into the coaching side and you obviously saw a need to help other coaches. I cannot agree more. But was there something specific that you saw that you said, man, coaches just, they need help? A lot of times you've got a coach coaching, say a football team out wherever. They don't always have someone to go to as a mentor to say, how do I get better at this job? Did you, I'm assuming you recognized that need and said, hey, we need to address this.
Yeah, I mean, from my own experience. So as I grew up the coaching tree and then I developed a program for USA Cycling because they didn't have a program for finding and nurturing sprint talent towards the Olympics. I developed this program and I was looking for ways to be better. So I'm reading leadership books. I'm tapping back into the stuff I've done in the corporate world. I'm reaching out to physiologists and engineers and aerodynamists and upskilling myself. And I realized it just gets really lonely. There's not many people to talk about the sport with. And then, you know, when it starts to get stressful, I changed the way that we looked at, or I was aiming at changing the way we looked at sprint cycling in this country. The US has been struggling to be effective in track sprint cycling. Our last major win was the Olympics in 2000. We haven't won. We won one world championship, one female world championship in 2008. So that's 22 years without a male winning a world championship or even meddling at a world championship. We have one female that got the win in 2008, and that's it. So I really wanted to change the way we were doing it, and all I encountered was resistance. And I'm trying to figure out why. I'm like, is it me? Is this something I'm doing wrong? And I realized it wasn't. It's just fear. And a lot of coaches sit in fear. And a lot of sports people sit in fear. A lot of athletes sit in fear of, well, if I change something, I'm going to lose all of my ability and suddenly I won't be able to play anymore. I won't be able to do my sport or our team is going to fail. And what I ended up doing was befriending national team coaches in other countries. The people that would actually be my rivals were the people that were most supportive to me. And that just shocked me. And then we started talking and I realized they're all going through the same thing that I'm going through. There's not many people for them to talk to. There's not many people for them to talk to about their sport. The coaches kind of lower down didn't necessarily understand the level that we want to talk about the sport at. And that's not their fault because there's no training for them. And sometimes they don't, especially in sport, they don't want to be collaborative because they're worried that you might find out what they know or don't know. So you've got fear in the coaches. And you've got, where do I go and get support? Most coaches or lots of coaches are really stressed. As we know, athletes get paid more, they get more support. Coaches get paid less, especially in Olympic sports. The hours are long and there's nobody to support you. So having had that experience myself, and then just by chance, I met Miriam, who runs a company called Athlete Soul, where she helps athletes transition after sport. We got talking, realized we had very similar experiences, and we thought, well, how can we actually help these coaches instead of just letting this thing continue where coaches get burnt out, their careers are quite short, you know, something that really should be a career you can do for 30, 40, 50 years. Lots of elite coaches quit after 5 years. So we were trying to find a way to support them, and we came up with this program of individual and group coaching taken straight from the corporate world, exactly what I do with companies. So I've been doing this work with companies for the last few years. It's the same stuff. Being a leader in a company is very similar to being a sports coach. The skill set has a huge crossover. You're trying to do the same thing, which is empower those people around you to be the best versions of themselves, both individually and then as a collective, so that the team can do the best it can.
Lee, coaching currently, at least to me, feels like we might be at, I know every generation says it, we might be at the most challenging point that I could remember for a number of different reasons, from parent involvement to, you know, kids have their own agendas. They see, if I go do this, I can make a name for myself, forget teammates, forget coaches. What challenges do you see coaches having right now, having to deal with so many things that have nothing to do with their sport? But they've got so many challenges, like you talked about, no support, lack of funding. The money is never as good for the coaches, but there's just so many problems that coaches do face. And like you said, it ends up leading to a short life because they don't last in coaching. But what problems are you seeing in this era right now?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said there. And there's a bit of a differentiation. Like there's the difference between your Steve Kerr, NBA coaches, And then, you know, the majority of coaches which are working either at a lower level in those professional sports or are working in Olympic sports and amateur sports where they don't have the backing, they don't have the money. You know, you'd be surprised how poorly paid Olympic coaches get in this country. It's not a well, you know, most of these Olympic sports are not well funded. So we see loneliness, we see burnout, we see fear of losing their job, fear of not knowing how to support their athletes, overwhelm from all that they're being asked to do without having the skill set, without having the training, without having that emotional support. You know, I work with these companies and I'm coaching the leaders of the companies and the executive teams and doing workshops. And then I also work with sports coaches and they're, you know, desperate to have that kind of stuff. And often there's just not the budget for it or even the desire. Their own administrators, their program directors just expect you to go from being an elite athlete to a coach. And they're completely different skill sets. Elite athlete is a very selfish profession. You know, if, as you said, even in team sports, a lot of these athletes are like, right, how do I get my own stats up? How do I get my own value up so that for my contract renewal, I have all of this great data? And that's why I'm always so impressed with the likes of Stephen Curry that absolutely put the team first. And I think that's a big reason why the Warriors have done as well as they've done. And that's led by the culture of the coaches. So you make those athletes really feel like they're part of something. They're more able to sacrifice their own individual goals for the greater good. But just, you know, supporting these coaches, as you say, there's so much pressure on them for social media. They get so much more exposed. The athletes have so much more of a voice, which is great. I'm not saying that's wrong. I really support that. Yet that puts extra load on the coaches. So yeah, it's really difficult being a coach right now. You know, as you said, we always think that this is the most difficult time. I don't think there's ever been such a challenging time to be a professional sports coach as there is right now. And we're here to help, right? There is ways of helping you. There's ways of helping you look after yourself. It's always interesting to see how many coaches are out of shape themselves physically. Even when lots of them were ex-athletes, how they've just let go of their own physicality and how that affects them and how that hurts them. You know, we know burnout, so stress, burnout gets both physically and emotionally released in the body. For you to release your stress levels, you have to do some kind of low-level physical activity, even if it's just a walk outside, which is why, you know, guess what? During COVID, everybody started walking without realizing it. It was to release their stress levels. So it's helping coaches look at themselves holistically. So not just, you know, how do you work better technically? We actually try to avoid that. We're looking at how does the coach look after themselves? And then how do they best communicate and work with their team and therefore allow themselves to feel more confident, less stressed, know that they've just got somebody on their side who actually understands what they're going through. Even that alone is incredibly powerful.
Lee, so you and Miriam build this company called Coach's Soul. Tell me what Coach's Soul actually does.
Yeah, we do three things. We try to keep it very simple. So the first thing is one-to-one coaching. So that is you sit with me or one of the other coaches. These are 50-minute sessions. You talk about what's coming up for you as an individual, what you'd like to work on to be a better coach and a better leader. We unpack and uncover the emotional stuff that's getting in the way of you doing that. So we do some stuff called essence work and survival mechanism, which has been really pivotal in my own life. So that's establishing who you are and how you show up as the best version of yourself. And then our survival mechanism is that armor that we've put on as, you know, we walk through a family system, our schooling, our first jobs, and we put this armor on to protect ourselves from the world because as children, we're vulnerable. And then when we become an adult, that armor can often get in the way. And we put a name to the survival mechanism. So mine is Tyrannical Einstein. So if I get triggered, I become a tyrant. And you know what? Being a tyrant is not a good skill set for a leader or a sports coach. So,
right.
You know, I work on that and I'm aware of that. And I've now got to the point where I'm very rarely the tyrant. My work currently is my fear of being the tyrant can get in the way sometimes. So being afraid of what I can turn into gets in the way. And that's where I'm working with my own personal coach. So we do that one-to-one work, and you know, we work on things, as I said, like communication skills. You said earlier, what's something I see coaches do wrong? It's how they communicate with their athletes, especially when they give feedback. In high-performance environments, we tend to give a lot of critical feedback and not enough appreciative feedback. Every study shows that the more critical feedback you give without giving appreciative feedback, people just can't hear your feedback. So you're telling them stuff and they go, here's that coach again, having a go at me, F him, I'm not interested in this. And they literally can't absorb the wisdom you're trying to give them. So we work on that skill set of how you look for the good, not just look for the gains. And the way you do it, I completely changed how I give feedback. I ask permission. It sounds such a silly thing and such a small thing, but if you ask somebody for permission, hey, are you open to some feedback on what I've just seen? Or, you know, can we explore what happened in that game? You open to some feedback. And then you ask them first what they thought. They're then going to tell you where they're at, because you're going to get an understanding of their understanding. And then instead of piling on and pointing out the same things that they've seen, you can agree with them, but you're not coming in and saying everything they already know about themselves. You then look for some other gain areas, and you also look for some areas to appreciate them. That person is going to start coming back to you and be hungry for feedback rather than avoiding you because they don't want the feedback because it hurts. There's only so much critical feedback we can get before we start shutting down. Watching coaches learn that skill, changing the way that they give feedback, is incredibly impactful. They just suddenly start enjoying their job again. Because instead of going, oh, I've got to tell the team again how they're not doing well and how they're failing, they go, I actually get to tell the team how they're doing really well. And then we get to look at the gain areas too. We can do both of those. And then the two other offerings we have is peer groups. We've got a new one coming in January. This is similar kind of stuff, but we're doing it in a group. And it's so powerful to sit down with a group of your peers and these people listen to you. And you watch as somebody sits there and shares the struggles they're going through. And then the rest of the group put their hand up and say, I understand. I've had a similar situation. And people realize they're not alone. That's incredibly powerful. And we do a lot of teaching in those groups as well, kind of emotional models, how to help them communicate and lead. And then the last one is we get you to video yourself coaching and we give you feedback on you actually coaching. It's probably our toughest offering from the point of view. It's incredibly vulnerable to be videoed being coached. I've experienced it as a sports coach and as a leadership coach. So I work with a coach right now, and my one-to-one and group calls, I video one of those a month and they get reviewed. And it's tough getting reviewed on how you're showing up with your work. It's also probably the fastest way to really improve your craft, to actually have somebody else really look at you and give you that direct feedback about how you're showing up, how you're physically carrying yourself, the words that you use, and looking at the impact that you're having on your athletes that you're not necessarily aware of. So that's our three offerings, the video coaching, the group offering, and then the one-to-one. And I'm working with people on all three, and it's making a difference. And to me, I'm very, very passionate about allowing coaches to enjoy what they do so that the athletes can have a great experience. And coaches have such an impact, especially coaches working with young people. They have a huge impact on that young person's life. And from having had my own negative experience as a young athlete and watching other athletes, young athletes, have negative experiences, I want to change that. And the majority of it is not because those coaches are horrible people or they mean to cause harm. It's because they just don't know how to do it better.
Oh, you could not be more right. You are so right on everything you're saying. I say the same thing all the time. Even, you know, as my kids went through athletics and I'm watching from a distance, I'm saying the same thing. It's not that the coach is a bad coach, is a bad person. They just don't know. And I find, and maybe you found this as well, there are so many coaches that don't think to go get help themselves. There are so many coaches that go, well, I'm the coach. The kids have to go improve. I already know what I'm doing. Coaches, I'm telling you, if you're listening, you've got to go find something like this. You've got to go find this website, because it's just going to make your job easier. And that's the part sometimes that coaches don't always grasp.
it's going to make what you do so much better. It's going to make it so much more impactful. And it's going to, in the end, it's going to make your job easier because you're doing the work more efficiently. It's working better. You're making more of an impact on the kids or the athletes that you're training. You're just, you're hitting a number of great points there. Lee, you say in your kind of mantra for your company, for Coach's Soul, that you believe the relationship between coaches and athletes is going to get deeper in the future. I couldn't agree more. I think it can get deeper. Why do you believe that it will?
Because I believe that coach is going to be able to go to that level.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was, I used to do some work with British Cycling. I was a guest coach for them. So I was a tactics and technician coach that would come to their, what they called Olympic development camps. And you know, I had close relationships with those young athletes because I thought that was important. That's an important part of being a mentor. And I remember one of the coaches saying to me, oh, don't get too close to the athletes. And I was like, well, why? And they said, well, it'll make it difficult for you to make important decisions. And I completely disagree with that. I think it's actually up to us as coaches to learn how to be able to separate those things skillfully so that we can show up well for our athletes and make difficult decisions. Me and Miriam did a group for a bunch of Australian rules football coaches. I don't know if you know that sport, but it's the biggest sport in Australia. It's kind of similar to what the NFL is here.
Right.
And I sat there with these four guys. And, you know, they're all ex-players. They're big, manly guys. I mean, you can't see me. I'm 6'1". I'm 200 pounds. You know, I'm not your typical psychotherapist kind of guy. I'm a blokey bloke. So it allows me to disarm those kind of guys, right? They're not looking at me. I don't have long hair and a ponytail. So they're not looking at me going, who is this weirdo? They're looking at me going, oh, he looks like one of us. And yet, even those guys, we do a check-in at the beginning of the meeting. And I said, how are you feeling? Every single one of them checked in with fear because they've never sat down in a group of men and really talked about their what was challenging for them. Because as men, we're taught not to be weak, not to show weakness. You know, the classic, don't be a pussy, whatever that means.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sitting with these guys and they're talking about the relationships they want to have with their teams and their athletes and what they want to create. And they're just worried about upsetting people. One of the biggest fears for them was around athlete selection. And it's knowing that you can make those difficult choices, but you can do them from heart and from love, and the athletes will understand it. And even if they don't understand it immediately, they'll eventually understand it.
So, Lee, I've got to ask you, you are focused on sports. You will work with coaches. You will help them in a one-on-one setting. You'll help them in a peer setting. You'll even watch video of them doing their job and then kind of address what you see, address some of maybe the problems, maybe the good things, maybe the bad things, whatever it might be. Do you do this specifically only in sports? Businesses come to you. Hey, can you watch the board meeting and see our general manager speaking? Do you do the business side or do you stick with just sports only?
No, I mainly do the business side. So for the last 3.5 years now, just before COVID, I went from being a national team coach to being an executive coach working with companies.
Okay.
And, you know, doing that made me realize how much we neglect sports coaches. So 75% of my business is working with companies. And I do exactly what we're talking about. I join meetings. I do workshops. I do one-on-one coaching. I'll watch them present and then we'll coach on their presenting and how they're showing up as leaders. And that's how I know this work is both incredibly powerful and challenging. And, you know, these people would describe me as somebody that calls the bull in the most loving way possible, Clint. I'm there to support you in being the best version of yourself. I can't do it for you. It's not my job to tell you how to do it. It's my job to expose how you are doing there and then make you aware of what you're capable of doing. You know, I just even in myself, I've had therapy, I've been in men's groups, I now have my own coach. In fact, I have two coaches, I have a personal coach, and then a coach, as I said, that watches the videos of me working. And it's allowing me to take my own work to a completely different level. I wish I knew this stuff when I was a sports coach. I mean, I knew some of it, but not as much as I know now. And I want to give that gift back to sports coaches. I was working with a coach during the Tokyo Olympics. And what we did is we set up a 15-minute check-in every day that he was at the Olympics. And he was working with, I won't give away what sport, but he was working with a team that ended up winning 3 gold medals and a silver medal. And this was individual athletes, but their nation. And what he wanted to get out of that 15-minute check-in with me was to set himself up to enjoy his Olympic experience, because he'd seen so many coaches take it almost so seriously that they didn't actually enjoy it. They were going to the Olympics, which is a coach, you know, in Olympic sports, that's the pinnacle of what you're ever going to do as a coach. You know, it's the Super Bowl of athletics or Olympic sports, and half the coaches weren't enjoying it because it was so stressful. So what he wanted to do was check in with me, unload any of the emotional baggage from the previous day or the fears that he had for that day, and then set the intention that he was going to go and enjoy it. And he trusted his athletes were ready. They'd done the work. They'd done everything they needed to do. It's quite funny, actually. You would think an Olympics competition is a lot of pressure, which it is. It's also one of the least attended competitions. When you go to a World Championships, there's 3 or 4 times as many athletes there as there is at an Olympic, because the Olympics is so select.
That's true.
So it's actually... It's based over more days. The competition's based over more days. So it's actually a less pressured environment time-wise than a World Championships is. So you can go to that Olympics and you're not rushing around and you've got less athletes to deal with. And if you can get yourself in the right headspace, you can really enjoy it. And he did. And he came out of that Olympics, even during COVID, which was stressful enough, obviously, in itself, and said that he'd reached his main goal, which was obviously not just to allow his athletes to perform at their best, but it was to enjoy the experience himself as a coach. And that's another part of what we want to do here, is it's not just helping you with your skill sets. It's, I want you to love your work. And I feel really passionate about that. I really feel really passionate about helping people love what they do, rather than seeing it as, I have to do this thing. And believe in that grind that, yeah, coaching is meant to be stressful. No, it's not. There may be stressful periods, but it's not meant to be stressful. It's meant to be enjoyable.
I am just absolutely fascinated by what it is that you're doing. I know that as a young coach, there were so many times that I was looking for someone or something to grab onto and say, oh, how can I figure this out? How can I get better at it? I want to improve. I want to become a better coach. But there's only so many resources. I kind of did what you did. I went and grabbed every book I could get. I went and found every video I could find. I'd go to coaches' clinics and camps. But someone to help you, almost mentor you and say, hey, let's look at specifically what you're doing. I'm not just going to give you something broad. Here's a coaching principle. No, I'm going to give it specifically to what suits you and what you do well and maybe what you struggle with. That to me is an absolutely fascinating aspect to this. I really, really appreciate what you're doing. What is the best way to contact your group? What is the best way to find you, to have some contact with you and your company and what it is that you do?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Clint. I am, as I said, very passionate about this work. Me and Miriam have experienced what it's like to be that isolated, burnt out, lonely coach. And I don't want anyone else to experience that anymore. You know, I have lofty aims. I want to work with thousands of coaches and really change coaching for coaches and athletes. Come find us, coachessoul.com on the internet. Same handle on Instagram and Facebook. So that's coachessoul.com and Instagram. I'm Lee Povey. You'll find me Googling me on the internet. Reach out to me. I'd love to speak to you. You don't have to struggle anymore. And there's a version of you that is happier and wins more, and your team wins more and your athletes wins more without being quite as stressed as you are now. In fact, probably being a lot less stressed than you are now. That all exists, and we will help you unlock that.
Lee, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the Daily Dose as someone who's passionate about coaching, passionate about coaches, and getting the athletes better coaching. Which I honestly look at right now and I feel, you want to talk about a pandemic. I feel like there's a pandemic of good coaches right now. There are not enough people out there that honestly know how to coach kids the right way to give them the tools that they need to be successful. And like we spoke about earlier, where you were saying, it's not that they're bad people. They're not. They just need to find ways to improve. And going to coachesoul.com is going to be your way to improve. I cannot thank you enough for stopping by the Daily Dose today, talking about what you do, talking about coaching in general. Please know you are welcome back anytime. I would love to sit and talk with you, talk with Miriam about what it is that you're doing. It is absolutely fascinating to me.
Thank you very much for having us, Clint. I really appreciate it. And can I thank you for being a great interviewer? Awesome questions.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And hey, let's do this again sometime. I would love to check back in with you and kind of see how things are going, but know that you are welcome anytime.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, coming back. Like I told you, this is a very special date in the history of the Daily Dose. When we come back, we're going to be discussing exactly what that means. So today is a very special date in the history of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Do you realize that it was back on December 10th, 2014, that we actually released the very first episode of the podcast? Yes, and we have proof, as painful as it might be for me to listen to right now.
Wednesday, December 10th, 2014, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly.
So this week actually marks the 8th anniversary of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, we had started with the Daily Dose radio show heard here in Denver back in those Dab City days, if you go back that far with us, and then this would all eventually turn into the podcast, and in that time, we have brought you lots of sports news, lots of our takes on the world of sports. We have had a number of guests, from friends of mine to writers to athletes to coaches to fight promoters to TV executives to parents of athletes that were trying to get their kids to be able to play sports again. We have had a number of sports preview shows. We've had a number of recaps. We've even done some live shows. And of course, a staple of the Daily Dose from back in the very beginning, we've had the Daily Dose Top 5, which, by the way, has appeared on the podcast hundreds of times. In fact, today, I actually thought we might go back and play a couple of, let's say, fitting Daily Dose Top 5s from the past. You know, back in 2019, we were actually celebrating the 5-year anniversary of the podcast, and so we counted down the top 5 things that I had learned at that point. And I'll be honest, I feel that so many of these still hold true today. So go ahead and check out this throwback Daily Dose Top 5 list. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5 this week. Like I told you earlier, this week marks the 5-year anniversary of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, we started back in December of 2014, and we have been posting new episodes every single week. In fact, we even went to a daily show from sometime in 2017 until 2019, when I ended up tearing my rotator cuff in my right shoulder. And then surgery and rehab kind of took that daily show stuff, you know, off the table. And if I'm being completely honest, I think that the Daily Dose is actually just kind of better as a weekly show anyways. I like it better. It feels like a more comfortable fit. But you know, here at the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, we have done some things that I'm very, very proud of, like I talked about earlier. We've gotten a lot of things right. Now, we have missed a few things, maybe like a few here or there. Sometimes we'll get, you know, a prediction wrong or whatever. Sometimes, like last week, I said the Army-Navy game was last weekend. It's actually this coming weekend. Hey, that's on me. I get some things wrong sometimes. I'll admit that. I'll own that. But we try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports, which it turns out is actually not all that common. We are not your beer guzzling, crush the can on your forehead kind of sports podcast. That's not what we do here. We have people on the show that have actually been involved in sports. We try to look at sports realistically. And as I have told you in the past, we are always looking to learn from what we see in the world of sports. You know, everyone in the sports media world, they do these kind of knee-jerk reactions. They try to throw out these hot takes. We try to bring a little bit of levity to what we see in sports. We like to look at some sports history. Sometimes it actually helps to look back at sports history. You can actually learn about the future sometimes by looking back. But today, on the fifth anniversary of the Daily Dose, I am going to attempt to count down the top five things that I have learned by doing this show for the past 5 years. Let's jump in right now. The Daily Dose, top five things that I have learned doing the Daily Dose. Starting off at number five. I have learned, and this is 1,000% true, I have learned that it's not just women that are not impressed that I have a podcast. Yeah, police officers, they're not impressed either. You might think that when someone, I don't know, maybe at a party asks you, hey, so what do you do? Oh, well, actually, I have my own sports podcast. You'd think that might be a good icebreaker. Yeah, I'll tell you this right now. Women don't care 1 ounce. They are not the least bit impressed. Oh, and by the way, police officers, if they pull you over and you tell them that, yeah, you're still 1,000% getting that ticket. You know who will usually perk up? And I don't know why this is. I don't know how this works. Your doctor. That's who's interested when you tell them you have a sports podcast. They're like, hey, turn your head and cough. Oh, yeah, you know what? I actually think I have heard your show before. I recognize your voice. Thanks, Doc.
Moon River. Whew. Thank you, Doc. You ever serve time?
Breathe easy.
Breathe easy. You using the whole fist, Doc?
Just relax.
I have definitely learned women and police officers not at all impressed by the fact that I have a sports podcast. Moving on to number four. And this was a tough lesson. This was a tough one. I have learned that I am never, ever, ever letting Mike Tyson do our Daily Dose taxes again. You know what? I knew better than this. I did. I knew that Mike Tyson had past tax problems. Back in 2003, he actually had to declare bankruptcy after making like hundreds of million dollars. He owed the IRS like $17 million. But he told me he had learned from that. He said he was doing better now. He said he had gotten his things together. What I kind of, I guess, failed to account for was the fact that now Mike Tyson, they say, is smoking an abundance of marijuana. It seems that Iron Mike actually has a pot farm, and they're saying he smokes like $40,000 worth of bud every month. Hey, that's a mistake on my part. I should have known better when I heard this.
Where do you go from here, Mike?
I don't know, man. I might get faded into Bolivian, you know what I mean?
Letting Mike Tyson do our Daily Dose tax return, that's on me. I learned that. I'm better for it. We'll make sure we don't make the same mistake in the future. Moving on to number three. And this one was pretty personal. I learned that former United States Senator Hillary Clinton, she's not that great with names and actually may have cost her the United States presidential election back in 2016.
Madam Secretary, are you a fan of the Daily Dose? Have you heard the show before? And would you say that maybe you have learned anything from it?
Well, you know, let me say this, Chuck.
It's actually Clint.
You can say this was unrelated if you want to, but we did this show back in October of 2016. At that time, if you'll remember, everyone was convinced Hillary was going to be the next leader of the free world. She comes on the Daily Dose. She botches my names multiple times. She sounds like a crazy person. The Donald ups his amphetamine intake and boom, what do we have? Yes, a historical political upset. Now, was it Hillary and her emails? Was it Hillary and all of her lying? Was it the fact that she probably has had people killed? Or was it the fact that Hillary couldn't even remember my name? She couldn't even keep my name straight. Now, to be fair, she had passed out a few times. There's a chance that maybe she was suffering from some CTE. We'll let you decide. All I know is this. She was leading. She came on the Dose. She botched my name. Then she lost. You do the math. Moving on to number two. And this, you know, we talked about it just a few minutes ago. This is a tough lesson for me. I have also learned that it is possible for someone to, let's just say, tear their rotator cuff while trying to strap Denver Broncos president of operations and general manager John Elway to the front bumper of their car. Look, I am a sports fan. Make no mistake about that. I've been involved in sports. I played sports. I coached sports. I even officiated sports. But above all else, I am a Denver Broncos fan. I try not to let it take over the entire show, but make no mistake, I bleed orange and blue. And when I see what John Elway has done in the past few seasons, sometimes it makes me act crazy. Think about this. Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Case Keenum. Those are just the quarterbacks that he's brought in. So I may have tried to, let's say, organize a private meeting with John, you know, just to discuss a few concerns that I had. And I may have done some significant damage to my right shoulder, but the good news is it's healing. I had surgery back in July, repaired the rotator cuff. The torn bicep is now improving. I am getting some strength back in my shoulder. And I mean, at least lately, the Broncos have won a couple of games. Then again, I also do remember Trevor Siemian and Brandon Allen looking good when they first got in the game. So I'm still not all in on Drew Lock. Oh, but I will say this. Let John Elway screw up this next draft. Trust me on this. You're going to be hearing how I tore up my left shoulder this next time.
I find it very hard to see the logic behind some of the moves you have made with this fine organization and reduce them to a laughingstock, all for the glorification of your massive ego.
Hey, lesson learned at number two. But the number one thing that I have learned in my 5 years of doing the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. And in that time, I want you to think back. We have had a number of guests. We've had a gymnast. We've had former coaches. We've had boxing promoters. We've had a race car driver. We've had sports writers. We've had just, you know, friends of mine that I want to have on the show. I mean, Larry from Centennial, he's been doing our NFL preview show for a few years now. Big Rob, he comes in, he talks pretty much anything in sports. He's done our college football preview for a few years. Mike in Castle Rock has been on a number of times. John in the Inland Empire out in California has been on. Crazy Trixie used to stop by. Russ McKinstry comes in and he gives us insight on all things sports. Even someone like, you know, Raymond in DC, he has stopped by the Daily Dose studio a few times. But the biggest thing that I have learned doing the Daily Dose and having these guests on the show is that my guests don't always want to sit on my lap while we do those interviews. Yes, that was a throwback top five from 2019. And, you know, I think it kind of encaptures what we are about here at The Dose. You know, I actually have one more Daily Dose top five to play for you this week as we celebrate our 8th anniversary of doing this podcast. And this one is actually from just a year ago. Last year, we were celebrating our 7th anniversary, and we decided to count down the top 5 reasons that you should keep listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. It is as relative today as it was then. Go ahead and check out this throwback, Daily Dose Top 5. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, like we've been talking about today on The Dose, this week is our 7-year anniversary of doing the podcast. Now, maybe you have been listening clear back since the beginning. Maybe you have heard the evolution of the show. You have heard the different things that we have done. You just tune in every single week. Or maybe you've only listened for a year or two. Or maybe you're actually brand new to the Daily Dose. However long you have been listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, you might be asking yourself, how long can this keep on going? I mean, we have already discussed this week Podfade and how so many podcasts start, but so many of those podcasts just stop releasing new episodes. So maybe you're asking yourself, well, how long do I keep listening to the Daily Dose? Well, today, on our 7th anniversary, we are counting down the top 5 reasons that you need to keep listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. And trust me, we have some very, very good reasons that you need to keep tuning in. 5. Like I said before, we are a smaller podcast. Hey, we don't have a huge budget. We don't go out and put up billboards or pay for expensive ads or even pay celebrities to promote our show. So when a celebrity does promote the Daily Dose on their own accord, it's even more valuable to us. Because it means that they are saying they believe in it. and they actually want to help us. They believe in what it is that we are doing here at the Daily Dose. We are bringing a new and sometimes unique perspective to the sports world. So when Hollywood celebrity Jussie Smollett endorses the Daily Dose and he says it's the best sports podcast on the market, oh, you had better believe it. He has no reason to make things up, kids. If he says it's the best podcast that he has listened to, then you might just want to take him at his word for it and believe it. Jussie says, keep listening. And that comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4. And right now in the sports world, we have a number of athletes, I don't know, who see themselves as like ambassadors. They see themselves as like, they think modern day Muhammad Ali's. They claim to be on board with social and political issues. And even though they really just kind of check and see which way the wind is blowing before they declare their allegiance, they try to find the most popular themes, and then they act like they're martyrs for their cause. That's a really popular cause. And it isn't just their political or social posturing. I mean, sometimes these same athletes will go so far as to like fake injuries. They'll actually be rolling around on the competitive surface, acting like they're hurt, pretending to be hurt. We all know they're not. And the sports media just eats this stuff up. They love it. They interview them every chance they get. They put them on their social media platforms as often as they can. They literally just have their entire world surrounding these specific athletes. And the sports media world won't ever call these people out on their hypocrisies. They just shower them with praise and talk about how wonderful they are. But here at The Dose, you know we will. Now, are these NFL wide receivers being prima donnas and acting like spoiled brats? No. Are these European soccer players that go out and fake these injuries and act like when they barely got brushed, they have a broken leg and they roll all over the soccer field? No. See, you need to keep tuning into the Daily Dose each week, because we will continue to call LeBron James out on all of his BS. Hey, we know that guy loves him some him.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6.
Here at the Dose, we're going to go ahead and say that sometimes he's sort of full of it, you know? And that is going to come in this week at number 4. Next up at number 3, we talked earlier in the show about some of the guests that we have had appear on the Dose. From former professional athletes, to coaches, to collegiate greats, to cable company CEOs, even to other sports radio hosts. Well, we have also had fellow sports writers appear on the show. I mean, NFL writer Dylan Brooks has stopped by every once in a while, and Young Jimmy stops by to talk baseball, and he is even a featured columnist on our Daily Dose Sports website. And sometimes these guests have insights that you just can't get anywhere else. So you need to keep tuning in to see what it is that they have to say. Plus, I mean, you never know when Young Jimmy might stage a hostile takeover of the show and just try to run the thing himself. And imagine if you miss the show the week that that actually happens. You might witness a live coup someday on the Daily Dose. So tuning in to see Young Jimmy with his face all painted and wearing Viking horns?
Follow me! Follow me to freedom!
Yeah, that's definitely a reason to keep checking out The Dose every week. And it comes in today at number 3. We move on to the number 2 reason that even though we have already been rolling along now for 7 years, you still need to keep tuning in to The Daily Dose. Like I said, Apple says there are over 2.5 million podcasts out there to choose from. So maybe you enjoy listening to true crime podcasts or different comedians' podcasts or even political podcasts. We know there are plenty out there to choose from. I mean, maybe you listen to musical podcasts or money podcasts or even educational podcasts. But here's the thing to keep in mind. If you are tuning in for sports podcasts, we all know that four-letter word company that controls so much of the sports media landscape. It's that company that tries to spin political commentary on every single thing. It's that company that even aired a high school football game this year between IMG Academy and Bishop Sycamore, the latter, a literally fake made up school. So, I mean, if you are listening to sports podcasts, you can either listen to the Daily Dose or you can tune into the nationwide leader in sports. Just know they are always the most honest and trustworthy. You got to be careful where you're getting your information from. Make sure you tune into the Dose because we're at least going to keep it real. And that comes in this week at number two. So we reach the number one reason that you need to continue to listen to the Daily Dose each and every week. And we reach the most important reason of all. Because yes, here at the Dose, we try to bring some common sense, some rationale to the world of sports. And that is a sports world that honestly, it sorely needs it. Because sometimes people get too emotional. They get a little too crazy. They don't even make sense with what it is that they're saying. We also try to bring you some sports insight. We have now been covering sports for quite a while, whether it was as a player, as a referee, as a coach, and now being in the sports media world. Hopefully, you might even learn something every once in a while from the Daily Dose. And you know, we also try not to ever have a show that at least won't make you laugh at least once or twice. We try to bring some humor to sports because some people do take sports way too seriously. And these are all good reasons to continue to tune into the Daily Dose. But the most important reason that you need to keep listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, I've got a little secret to let you in on. On the weeks you don't listen, we're actually making fun of you. Hey, I know we say it every week, but if you are involved in the podcast in any way, if you're a listener, if you've been a guest, if you watch the YouTube videos, if you read the articles, if you like or you share what we do on social media, whether it is podcasts, the videos, the articles, whatever, I just want to say thank you. I never dreamed that we would make this last for 8 weeks, let alone 8 years. And you know, the coolest part is that every year, some of the things that we do here at The Dose, we actually make a little bit of money and we donate money on behalf of the podcast to very worthy charities. We have done that every year since we started. And you are a part of that. So thank you. How long is this going to go? I have no idea. I didn't expect it to go this long. But I hope that you will continue to join us each week as we continue to look at the world of sports in a little different way and hopefully provide you with a dose of some common sense. Hey, next week on The Dose, it is already going to be Christmas week. And you just know that we're probably going to be working on our Christmas wish list for Santa Claus concerning the world of sports. I have a lot of things that I'm going to be asking for this year. Plus, we'll keep you on top of all the top stories in the world of sports. So be sure you tune in and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Coach's Soul co-founder Lee Poovey for stopping by and sharing some insight on a business that I think is so important. Be sure you stop by coachessoul.com. And if you have a coach or a manager or a leader in your life, someone that wants to be in a role like that, honestly, I would encourage them to go there too. Check out what they have going on over there because they are doing some really, really good work. And be sure you go over and you follow Coach Assault on both Twitter and on Instagram. Hey, I also want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSport.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But most of all, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos. Thank you for sharing the articles for the past 8 years. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to thank you, JSP. Could not do any of these past 8 years without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Moon River.